Having just turned in their latest bounty, the party celebrates as Ziggy finally earns his official bounty hunter's license. They're interrupted by a call coming into Pike. A former cellmate from prison is out and has a lead on the Scarlet Eyes. The Rhapsody takes off to Vanar in the city of Makoro. Renting a car, the gang drives past the neon lights of the top slice as they make their way to the undercrust, a pale reflection of the world above. They meet up with Ko throwing down against a gang of red belts by herself. Heavy metal and the dull crack of skulls disrupt the night air. The party has a clear upper hand until a backstabbing thug jams a poison blade into Ko's gut. They immediately rush her to safety, meeting Mrs. Ume, who puts them up to recover and prepare for the week ahead. As the time goes by, she nurses them all back to health as they gather information on the city of Makoro and formulate a plan to overthrow Big Thunder, codename of the head distributor in the area. Rhett meets with a Kyojin foreman, Hyder Corell, and at a local concert, they form a plan to invade and shut down the Scarlet Eyes forever. Feeling like they're finally stabilizing and turning the tides in this new city, they make their way back to Mrs. Ume, who welcomes them home. Until a blast sends everyone flying, Mrs. Ume lost in the smoke. You see Mrs. Ume waving at you as she mentions that she'll have food ready for you as you come back from the concert. You hear the ding behind her. Confusing as she hadn't started the when suddenly all the glass of the third floor in an instant first almost looks like it bubbles. You might not even see it as fast as all the glass shatters and flame engulfs the entire area. You're all blown back.
No, as I'm going to basically heave myself up and just absolutely book it.
No, wait!
I am not listening to anybody. I am sprinting. I try to find the stairwell, climb into the rubble. I am trying to get to the third floor and whatever I can. I am not paying attention at all to if the thing's fucking coming down. I'm booking it.
You are racing forward. You get to the front door.
No.
You go to swing it open, and it just cracks off the hinges, the top part dislodged in the blast. As it clatters to the ground, you race down the hallway. The little bits of flooring is starting to crash around you. You race to the end of the hall and make it to the stairs. You cross the first floor to the second, and as you go to make it to the third, the flame meets you at the door. As you try and kick it open, I need you to make a constitution save.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, I'm going bananas.
Follow her! You stay the fuck there!
Damn it! Okay! And I go. I just take off.
My grab can is gonna swing around past me by my arms. I'm gonna grab it. And I'm going to basically try to clear this ground floor. My military training kicks in.
Oh, yeah!
So my job is to make sure, like, can I see anyone that would have planted this? I wanna go around the back to see if anyone's back there. Like, I wanna clear
the ground floor. Roll a quick investigation check. So you are lost in the moment. You're running forward. Rhett, regardless of what you roll, what 13. You start to see is you see the ravage of this blast as you see people stumbling away from the building, some missing arms and legs, everyone bleeding, people are stumbling out and collapsing into the streets, some people just hung off the edge of the third floor, caught up in the collateral damage. You're able to go around on the ground as you start to kind of focus in, you compartmentalize, and you focus on what you can control. Getting all this debris and clearing as much space as you can to potentially try and help anyone who has survived this blast. What did you roll, Co?
I rolled an 8.
An 8. This floor is on active fire now from the blast. A layer of smoke is encroaching at the top. As you go to move forward, you're really struggling.
Mrs. Ume! Mrs. Ume!
You'd think to move any further forward, you'd have to make some attempt to cover your mouth.
I will do that. I am going to take my my shirt and I'm just going to rip off the bottom of it. And so there's not a whole lot there. So I'm ripping off a bunch of it and I'm going to basically tie it around my my mouth the best I can to make a makeshift mask as quickly as I can.
You tie off this like makeshift white bandana as you try and make your way through. You make it to the end of the hallway. You get to her apartment number towards the front of the building.
I'm here.
Swing open the door and you're met with open air. As her apartment has effectively evaporated into dust. You're standing out looking down at the street beneath you when you remember having previously looked at a couch, an armchair, the hanging plants, the oven, the smell of cookies. Now the smell of burning flesh takes root in your nostrils.
Ugh.
You'd make it down the hallway until eventually you'd get there and you'd find Ko, hand on the handle of the door swung open. You see just past her that Mrs. Ume's apartment is gone.
Fuck.
Are you running up to me? I'm standing there. Yeah. I'm stunned. I'm shell-shocked. And I'm just like...
After a few moments of me like recognizing that you're like not reacting more than just repeating, I would put my hand on your shoulder and say, "Go, come on, come on. We can't stay here. We gotta get out of here."
She's gone, Pike.
I know.
They got her, Pike.
I know. Come on, it's gonna be all right.
As you all are saving people, stabilizing them, doing what you do to help with the event as much as possible. And the almost quiet returns to the area. At this point, most of the people who have survived the event are in cars on their way to the med station. And the people who have not survived are quiet. You'll hear off to the side, Pelger, take this down. Seems like faulty gas line in the building. Terrible, unfortunate explosion.
Do I hear this?
Several dead. Nothing to be done. Survivors with the heroic work of some in the area, as well as the always heroic efforts of the MPS. Yes. Just off to the side, you do hear that.
On my one knee, like looking at a corpse. What? I stand back. Faulty gas line? I immediately walk over to them. Are you fucking kidding me? It was the Red Belts! They're down in the fucking cannery! Get your giant fucking robots and level the fucking thing! They did this! Not a fucking gas line!
You've dealt with a couple MPS badges at this point, but this one, instead of just wearing that kind of like classic like blue outfit, he's wearing almost like a blue long coat, and he has this like kind of monocle. Looks like it's attached to his face with a portion of red glass that covers it. And you'll look down to his boots, and his left eye has the glass monocle. His left boot is just a traditional, looks like black leather, something of the kind, a combat boot of sorts. His right looks almost like a cybernetic leg is under the pant. As he says, "I know tensions are high, but these are old buildings. Terrible tragedies happen. I'll forgive the transgression, but you need to calm down. There's no evidence anywhere that anyone has been able to produce.
Specifically on the third floor! All of the gas concentrated there and then exploded and killed all those people? Are you fucking kidding me?"
"We've found nothing to suggest there was any foul play or foul intentions involved. I can't explain why it was resolved to that floor, but we found nothing to suggest that it wasn't anything but natural gas causes."
"Are your fucking politicians so afraid of these assholes? Are you that fucking afraid?" "Well, I'm fucking not." I will be, like, clenching my fist as I am very much struggling. And I almost lose control, but I will remember kind of what Pike and Rhett have been saying and realizing that there is a greater threat.
You'll see in this moment of almost like primal, like your posture, your tension conveying almost like this killer's intent. You'll see the red eye kind of like focus in for a moment as it's almost capturing your form. It just as it's tracking kind of the responses in your body is how it feels as you're dealing with this MPS. You see like a placard badge on him. sorry, Captain Stotch.
I'm gonna hear your explosion.
Yeah,
you know, you're yelling.
It might come to blows, for all you know.
And
I'm still wagged up. I don't know what I'm gonna do.
I'm gonna walk up as I'm lighting a cigarette, and take a deep drag, and just say, "Now, Co, let's take a deep breath and relax. All right. Who do we have here? Stotch, right?
That's right.
Is there anything else that we can help you with?
You all have done great work here. I know tensions are high. I can see it in your friend. This has been a terrible tragedy this evening. A horrible accident.
Then if there's nothing else we can help you with, I think we're done here and you should leave my friend alone.
I agree. I think you are done here. And you may move on as we clean up the area.
Hey, your fancy fucking augments tell you that? Investigation with your robot eye? Okay.
Come on, Co. Come on.
Well, get out of your hair.
Fucking.
Thanks for...
Cyber badge.
Thanks for doing what you can.
Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto, you fuck. As I am going to turn around and just storm off.
Nothing I can say right now is going to make you feel any better. But we know what we have to do. Right?
Just stay to the plan. Right? Is that what we have to do?
Yeah.
Is that what we do?
Yeah. And you didn't do nothing. I couldn't help at all. You all three, you used your med tech and you used your strength and your abilities. You saved so many lives. Think of that. A lot more people would be dead if you hadn't done anything.
Kid's right. You went above and beyond.
It'll be a fucking lesson, though. We need to keep our heads down. We can't fuck this up.
Finally learned my fucking lesson, and she had to die.
Well, hopefully, after tomorrow night, we'll save a lot more lives. To ruin or squalor or fucking destruction or any other thing. But you need to be able to find a way to keep a cool head. I'm sorry for your loss. It's a terrible tragedy.
You know that you weren't the first to experience this, but with any luck, you can be the last.
This whole fucking syndicate. This doesn't just end with fucking Big Thunder. He is a distributor, and maybe he is a distributor. I don't know how far this fucking goes. You're the one investigating this shit.
Keep on it.
We're gonna fucking get to the bottom of it. Don't you worry. We're gonna keep going up. But here's the thing. You mouthing off to that fucking badge, you get thrown in fucking jail. Then what?
I'll do another 2 years. I don't fucking
care. Our whole fucking plan goes to shit. And we don't fucking help this neighborhood. That makes sense to you?
You're fucking right. You're right.
Do they know that you ride that fucking bike? Have they seen you on it?
No, it's been junked. It's been junked as long as I've been here. I kept it under the tarp.
Thank fuck for that.
It's all my fucking fault. I didn't end up helping anybody. Look at all these people. They're fucking dead. I'm like watching as like the MPS is putting sheets, presumably, over people and are getting in the final vehicles, the final ambulances or whatever that are here.
You look, see, is there
fucking dead? Oh.
I'll have the window down and I'll take my guild badge and I'll hold it out the window. Official bounty hunter business. We have Code Tetsutora. We heard y'all are looking for her and that you may reward us, so we're bringing her in.
As you call that out, you'll see the door close and then open wide as two of these scarlet eye goons walk out. One, this Zorbrak, this kind of bug looking visage with the red belt, the classic red belt, the bladed arms and the little hands, as he's kind of doing this while the blade arms stand at the ready at his side. The other, another Claudarin with that same kind of heavy pistol style on the side as they both walk up to you.
You think we heard them right? Yeah, they have come. They have what we're looking for. Oh, I sure hope. I can't wait to fuck her up. Well, no, you know that the boss wants her. Oh, we just gotta bring her in. Hey, you. What'd you say your name was?
Code Tetsutora. Word on the street is you boys are looking for her.
Yeah. Let's see your cargo.
All right. Pike, bring her out.
I'll hop out of the driver's side, walk around back, and I'll...
They take a couple steps back as you come out of the truck and you start to walk forward towards the back, towards them.
And I'll throw open the back hatch.
The hand hovers towards the hilt of the pistol quickly as you move. But you throw open the back hatch, and sitting on one of the drop-down seats, you see Ko in the ether cuffs, looking down, blood dripping from the nose, black eye kind of puffing on the side. And even Pike, you showing a little bit of wear, taking a jab to the face. You have a little streak of blood and a bruise kind of showing up just on the side.
I make sure to stand in a way where they, like, I'm not going to let them walk past me into the van for any reason.
Yep.
And so I just let them see.
As I get out of the driver door, I'll immediately grab my stuff, my pack, and I put it on. I'll walk to the front, or I'll walk to the back of the truck, and I'll take my cannon out and put it on a show.
All right, Tetsutora, go ahead and step out.
Fucking bounty hunter pigs! Nice fucking badge. As I'll get out, big fucking gun, little man, compensating for something.
You fucking wish. Go on. Go on, get out!
As I'm seething. I am just filled with hatred as I kind of stumble forward. And I look a little bit hurt, more hurt than I do. I walk with a limp.
Yeah.
I'm kind of hunched forward as if I'm far more wounded.
You're favoring a side. Yeah. You almost shuffle. Like maybe you have a couple broken ribs as you wince, as you stumble forward.
Bounty hunter pigs.
The boss is going to love this. We're going to party tonight.
As they take you, and they start to take you into the facility.
All right, Ziggy, you too. Come on, everybody. Everybody out.
I'm right behind you.
As you move through this area, this is the large open. You would think that previously this was maybe like the cannery floor where they were actually like packaging fish at one time before the river had turned to pollution. This was all used for a form of packaging and shipment. But now the only packaging that's being done is of the red line. But Pike, as you start to move towards the back of the room, what you'll notice at first is almost like a table reserved with a couple series of weapons and several vials that give off the similar faint glow to the type of material you saw laced on the dagger that stabbed Ko.
Oh, shit. I would immediately, like walking next to Rhett, like give him like a very subtle like jab in the ribs, and then just motion with my head over to that table to make sure that I like pointed out to him silently.
Both of you see now on the other side of the room, your attention being drawn, what looks like a little section where they are kind of like working over a couple weapons to coat them in this this strange poison that kind of has this almost like yellowish, orangish, reddish kind of hue to it.
Interesting.
It's unlike anything you've really ever seen before. But you know the kind of potency it had from what you've dealt with at the beginning of this trip. And you continue to make your way. You see the red line being packaged, shipped out, all the boxes going to the side of the room and being moved presumably back towards where an actual loading bay or dock may be. And then at one far end of the table, you see a large, imposing red Rhizo who notices you the second the doors open. And you just, this tension falls as everyone enters. And you hear him say, "Clear the room." And everyone stands up and walks out and shuffles past you until just. The two goons, two more by the door, and the rest leave.
Anyone paying really close attention would have seen Ziggy turn for a moment, realize that it was the guards that this imposing figure was talking about, and then stop.
not you. Get over here.
I thought he meant everyone. I'm sorry.
And so he's red with presumably horns and tusks, that sort of deal.
Big red, has those same familiar horns, these giant tusks. He has almost this kind of like.
Just a joke.
Oh yeah, he's big. It's hard to tell. He's sitting at the head of this table, but even as you swing the doors open, this almost like smoke pours out as you're met with this visage, and he strikes an imposing figure, certainly much larger than either of you. It's hard to tell from a glance that if he was standing, if he would be able to square off against Ko. She's quite large for a Rhizo, but he strikes an imposing figure at the other end of the table. Well, the big blue bitch. Oh, I should have known it was you, Ko. Come on in.
Do I recognize this voice?
As he calls out to you and you walk in, and for the first time, not in the car, not on the other side, you see him dead on for the first time, and you absolutely do recognize him from your childhood.
Who is it?
Sagio. This grown up is Big Thunder of the Scarlet Eye Syndicate.
Big Thunder is fucking little Sagio.
He stands
you
up.
You little shit stain. You have been doing this to this fucking world? Back home wasn't enough? Being a little corner boy? Getting all the fucking kids on drugs? You know Makari fucking died? You know Shinji OD'd? I should have fucking killed you. How's your fucking right arm?
Well, not so little anymore, huh, Ko? Makari, Shinji, weak. Kanabo was there. I was inevitability. Their deaths, easy. Trampled beneath the feet of movement. Because you see, Ko, I like living life at a certain level. And he has this kind of like flashy red outfit, almost like a type of, not quite armor, but like extremely enforced kind of leathers. And as he stands up and he starts to move towards you, and he starts to walk, you'll notice actually that his right arm is almost completely cybernetic.
Oh, fuck.
As Ko calls out about what happened in their past. Yeah, you got the best of me in the fucking past. But now I got you here in cuffs thanks to these two scumbags. Great to see that everyone with a badge can be bought for a couple of notes. I am gonna love sending you back to your childhood pals. You gotta tell them I said hi.
You were too much of a hot-headed, greedy, incompetent fuck that you couldn't rise the ranks of Konobo. So you fucking cut across the galaxy, and now you're a fucking, what, a planet distributor? Dude, the fucking Scarlet Eye? That's a fucking downgrade even for a fucking corner boy like you, little Sagio.
He approaches you, and he gets right in your face, and you're cuffed, and you're standing tall, and you can see at this point now that he has to look up to Ko still.
Oh,
he's
fuck.
He's big.
I'm not scared anymore.
But he's probably like 6'4". You have at least a solid, with the boots on, you have at least a solid like 2 to 3 inches as he looks up and just squares off against you. I'm hot-headed. That's rich. Coming from you.
I'm not trying to fucking rise the ranks of some bullshit pseudo-corporate crime syndicate. At least I fucking know what I am.
I am like really angry, but I know that Ziggy has to fucking do something. And so I am like, I am seething, the blood is coming out of my nostrils, like the foamy like blood and out of my mouth. It's absolutely like dribbling down. I am filled with rage upon seeing this person who seemingly was the one of the corner dealers of my neighborhood that got a lot of people that I knew hooked on some sort of drug.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I am the exact kind of person that perhaps encouraged me, one of the many that encouraged me to have the code that I have now.
This was, if not the first person that kind of plagued your childhood streets, that drove you to the path that you find yourself on. The first person that really struck home, that took important people from you, and here he stands in front of you. No, you're not trying to rise the ranks. Not a Konobo, not the Scarlet Eye. You could, probably, if you'd ever applied yourself. But no, the only thing you're good for is getting everyone around you killed.
You know what? You're fucking right. So what do we do here? Are you here to just fucking stab me like your goons with the poison blade and watch me bleed out in front of these pathetic fucking bounty hunters? Is that what's happening?
Oh, I thought I'd keep you for a little bit. I thought maybe I'd break your arm in 10 places. See how you like the feel of it. Maybe we just take it off. We put a cybernetic one on you. Who knows? Who knows what we're gonna do? But first, let me settle up with our special guests here. I'm assuming you brought her in because the notes on her head. Well, thank you so much, gentlemen.
I didn't want to interrupt, but I'm happy to talk business as soon as you're ready. Yes, that's why we brought her in. We heard you had a under-the-table bounty, so to speak.
Fucking lucky I drank too much at the show. You fucking pig.
Yeah, we are, and we're gonna fucking profit. Thank you very kindly.
And it wasn't easy, so you better pay well.
And, Mr. Thunder, if you wouldn't mind,
That's Mr. Big Thunder to
yeah,
you.
Is there a restroom that I could, find? Is there, like, a bathroom?
What did you say? Speak up, boy! I can't barely hear you over your yammer.
I gotta pee. Is there a bathroom?
Jeez.
He has a bit of a condition. He's
are
new.
Are you guys fucking kidding me with this guy?
Well, look, he's smart as fucking hell, let me tell you. He's new. We're showing him the ropes, but he's fitting right in.
just has a bit of a bladder condition, if you wouldn't mind just pointing
look at the size of his can. It's like a whole energy drink.
Roll deception check.
Is it advantage because he's been assistant?
Yeah, I was going to say, at the very least, Red is helping.
Yes, you can roll an advantage. Also, presumably, maybe Ziggy does actually have to pee.
Hold on. Don't tell me what it is. I think we twist.
Absolutely.
I agree. We'll use three twists.
Three twists.
Okay.
And then Red is assisting.
Yep.
Natural 20.
Yes!
24.
Sorry,
headphones.
I'm
sorry.
So, yeah,
24.
I saw it.
Oh, man. Hey, Fenny! Show me the fucking bathrooms. All right? And get the notes while you're back there. We gotta settle up.
You and your fucking goons are so worried about a fucking chubby kid that has to piss his pants that you're gonna give him a fucking escort detail. You really haven't fucking changed, little Sagio. You little fucking corner boy shit.
I'm gonna enjoy bashing your fucking skull in, Co. Yeah. I'm gonna love every second of it. They're gonna call me Red Fist because I'm gonna paint my fucking knuckles in your skull. Fenny, point the fucking bathrooms out and get the notes and come back.
Yeah.
You make your way to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Here we go. Fenny, the Zorbrak, still kind of like, I'm gonna party tonight.
Don't you have some like notes to get? I can use the fucking bathroom.
Yeah, fuck. Oh, the bathroom's right there.
Thank you.
And
Ziggy's our own personal Vincent Vega.
He'll go off and
taking a shit.
He'll go off. And he'll make his way kind of back towards this section. You don't know exactly quite where he's going, but presumably going to collect notes. I mean, it's something down there. You'll get it. Yeah, you got it, kid. Don't get lost. Don't fall in.
I love this guy. No, it's my favorite. I fucking love this guy.
And you make your way down that similar where the several sections of rooms are. One of which is the bathroom. If you need to go, you may go.
I don't need to use the bathroom. I was deceiving.
He's learned the bounty hunter ways.
But I make my way to where I know the terminal to be, and the entire time I'm like sort of like half jogging, and I'm like banana dun 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 dun
dun dun dun dun dun dun. You definitely pass like a table of drug dealers, and they're just like,
yeah. What the fuck is this kid? Well, whatever. The boss knows what he's doing. I don't fucking know. And you make it to a control room of sorts. You see three displays in front of you, different camera angles. One focuses on the outside. One focuses on the back, and you see in the camera that looks at the back. You see several large kind of tankers, presumably all filled with red line. You also see Big Thunder supercar parked out back. That kind of gauche, cherry red speed demon just sitting in the back lot. Out front, you see your truck parked in an empty gravel lot, and you're starting to kind of look around, and you almost for a moment, you see the front camera is just perfectly still, nothing. The only thing on the screen is your truck, but there's one building in sight, just right across the lot, and you see no movement on it until just a little bit catches your eye on the rooftop on the other side. And you see almost the glinting of a helmet as it sinks back down under the edge. You do think in this moment that the signal is that Kyojin said they would be standing at the ready. Foreman Corral said that he would have his team at the ready, ready to move when they saw the cameras and the turrets deactivate at the front. So you know that that is the signal that will convey. To kick everything.
I will turn off the cameras the moment that I get that signal and prepare moments later to, if I can see on camera, I'm going to be timing when I release Ko's handcuffs for the optimal time. So, do I have to stay in the console room?
You do not. You now have like hacked remote access to this. You've taken over.
Well done, Ziggy.
I log out. I leave my signature hacker meme on the thing. Ah, they're gonna know this meme real good. And then I run out.
Are you opening the door for them? Because isn't that what
I open the door.
You do all the things you're supposed to do.
The cameras die. I power down the tech. I turn the control sentry guns to not slaughter them.
Actually, quite competent.
Yeah. Fenny and Ziggy enter the room at the same time. Fenny now carrying what looks like a steel case, ready with your payment. And Ziggy walks back in, calm, cool, 5 pounds lighter.
I just realized something. Little Sagio. That means that you knew that Mrs. Ume ran the grocery store and then that was her apartment. You knew that was her and you remembered her.
Yeah, of course I knew. You stood on the block every fucking day shouting about the Scarlet Eyes. You think we wouldn't put two and two together? I knew it was Ume. Always sticking up for you. You always hanging out at that shop? Finding that little piece of happiness? Oh, I knew.
So when you thought back to those fucking days when we were kids, and you'd grab a peach from that grocery store, and she'd let you have it for free, you had your goons blow her to fucking smithereens all the same.
We're not fucking kids anymore, Co, and I don't need any goddamn fruit for free. I can buy anything I want. The nicest cars, the greatest spots, the coolest parties. I don't need any goddamn handouts from any old ladies.
You don't need fruit for free. And I don't need a fucking weapon to kill you.
And I'm going to lunge forward. I would no signal. I am going to lunge forward at this guy, trying to basically just tumble into him, give him a headbutt and give him the shoulder. Basically, as I am seething, realizing that he knowingly killed Mrs. Ume.
Roll a dex contest, and I'm going to roll disadvantage because you've caught me extremely off guard.
Straight dex. That'll be a 17.
Oh, 9. You crash forward, the crack of your skull into his, as you land reeling blow as you lunge at him. Ah-ha! Oh, I'm gonna fucking skin you alive, Co! As he takes a step back, and it's your cuff's still on, as he starts to walk forward, he pulls both arms back, as it looks like he's gonna clap you around the ears, when you hear... Boom! A loud explosion that rocks the cannery. What feels like it's coming from the front. You almost have to steady your ground as you lunge at him again. You're kind of tussling on the ground.
Yeah.
As he's holding you back, he kind of pushes you, shoves you off to the side. With your hands tied, you kind of you're bludgeoning at him, and he pushes you to the side. When the doors once again swing wide open, and you see one more goon enter,
you gotta get out of here. I don't know how they got in.
Now.
And he collapses to the ground. You see blaster fire as a trail of blood follows him in from the hallway. You see as the doors swing open briefly, you see a cacophony of fucking cross laser fire as just an eruption of battle is taking place and evolving for you as presumably Kyojin has begun the onslaught. You start... You see Big Thunder. Next time then. Next time! As he turns and he starts running out the back bay doors. And fucking tear him to shreds, goons, guys, whoever you are. As he makes it his way out the back door, and the goons that were left in the room all draw these laser rifles and level at you, as I need everyone to roll for initiative.
Oh. Let's fucking go.
That's where you'll find me.
You have any idea how hard it was not to fucking smash his brain in?
I turn off Wishbolt.
I am going to, as he's weak, he's up against the wreckage of the car, as he's unconscious, I'm going to take my boot and smash on his one living arm that has not been shattered into the wreckage, as I'm going to lean down, uncork the flask that I have, and use my last point of lay on hands to pour, force it down his throat and regain his consciousness as I'm smashing his arm into the smoldering wreckage, in hopefully to a very painful effect.
Oh, my God.
You are grinding your boot into his arm against this this burning hot metal car. You can almost hear the sizzling of the skin as it rests against the flaming metal connected behind him. You're leaning one arm over the knee as you uncork the flask and pour down your last bit of healing liquid as he...
That's better than you fucking deserve, Mrs. Lumace T. You're gonna tell us who the fuck your supplier is. Who is your fucking source?
Fuck you, Go.
I
fuck you.
Without hesitating, I broke your other arm 10 times. Let's see if I can get to 10 before you pass the fuck out or die. I smash again, trying to break his arm.
You hear the burning of his flesh as his arms pinned against the door. Do you have any idea how close I came? Do you have any idea how close I came to having it all? That's all I wanted. From nothing to something.
And you sacrifice your entire fucking neighborhood to get it, and you still fucking failed. I don't care about what you want. I don't care about your fucking sob story or why you were. What we had in that neighborhood wasn't fucking good enough. All I need to know is who is giving you your fucking red line and who's giving it to the rest of the fucking sector. And we are gonna come for them. And you are fucking lucky that I made new friends. Otherwise, you'd be dead and you'll be able to spend the rest of your pathetic fucking life in a fucking prison if they don't fry your ass. Fucking tell me, Sagio, for Miss Suzume, if she ever meant anything for her free fucking peaches.
And as you're saying all this, you're grinding your boot into his arm against the door, and you start to hear, you could all hear the sickening sounds of cracking bone as Ko is brutally crushing his arm against the door, and you hear the snapping and the crunching.
Well, I guess none of it fucking matters now. I was dead the second you stopped that tanker. So I guess why the fuck not?
Oh, shit.
Yeah?
You want to know who's getting it all to the sector? Well, good fucking luck. Because the next one up is Grobulus J. Weedlefox. And good fucking luck if you think you're getting anywhere near him.
Where the fuck is he? I stomp on his arm. I try to break it again. That hesitation at all. If he's afraid of this.
Oh, God.
Don't you fucking kill him!
You're gonna get your fucking money! Don't worry!
You, as you're crushing his arm into the door, you'll start to see as he'd been kind of like holding a tight fist, the fist will go loose as his hand will start to hang limply as the side, as Ko's boot is now the only thing holding the door up, as he started to lose feeling in the arm.
Wheelvox. Wheelvox. He's on Cherix.
Cherix?
He runs a club.
Cherix?
The Glitz Room.
Thank you for fucking cooperating, Glitz. And doing one good thing for the fucking community in your pathetic fucking life. As I am going to pull him off of the heap. And I'm going to turn to Rhett. I'm going to turn to Pike. And I'm going to turn to Ziggy. And I'm gonna, like, hold him up. I didn't kill him. Maybe I'm a fucking bounty hunter after all.
Good fucking job. Now let him go and get the fuck out of the way.
I'll let him drop, and I'll kind of take a step back from him.
All right, stabilize him, cuff him.
I'm gonna go up to him. I'm gonna pull out of my jumpsuit a needle. With a large syringe and plunger. Don't you die on me, you big fucking bitch! And I'm gonna start to stab it into his heart and fill him full of stimulants. As I cast Hail the Dying.
Fuck you guys!
And, I
hit him with the fucking.
I pull out the ether manacles and yeah. I start to restrain him. And realizing he only has one arm.
He does only have one arm.
And around the ankles, just fetter him.
I'll put him around the ankles and,
fuck.
And then I'll kind of just fall back on my ass and just sort of finally take a breather.
His arm, hanging.
I'm okay.
His arm hanging limply at his side.
As fucking savage as ever. Like a rabid dog, Ko. But I don't know what I expected from a fucking Tetsuo. How about the next time you see your sister, you tell her I said hello?
As soon as he says that, I'm gonna walk over and kick him across the face to knock him out.
And you do so. His ankles are restrained, his arm loosely at the side. He's barely standing. And without missing a beat, in a flurry, you twirl around and boot hits jaw, cracking it. The next and possibly last sound of bone crunching you'll hear as Ko stands furious over the crumpled form of Big Thunder.
Once there's like a moment where everything kind of just like calms down for a second, I instinctually go for my left pocket. It's not there because I'm not wearing my jacket, so I reach in my back pocket, I pull out a cigarette, but it's broken.
And it's Tetsutora, you fucking prick! As I spit on his unconscious body, and I just walk back to... I'm getting my fucking bike. And I walk to the bike.
Once I throw him in the back of the cargo van, I'm going to search for his gate pass. If it's on him. And if it's not, I will search the mangled wreck of the car.
That's using your fucking brain.
But I need a gate pass.
Yo, it better not be on fire in the... We're toast if it's in the buggy.
As you look over at the car, boom, as all the vehicles go up, and a giant plume of flame. And as you rifle through his pockets, you check his jacket, you tap his chest pockets, you rifle through his pants, you find a couple of things. A couple of kind of folded pieces of paper that you just stuff in your pocket. You do, in fact, find the premium gate pass.
Let's go!
You also find a vial of gleaming red liquid with two prongs on the end of it of an injector of red lime. You also find a second vial of dark green liquid that looks like similar to the poison that you saw in the cannery as you were walking by that they were applying to the weapons.
I will take the red vial, I will throw it to the ground, and I will smash it with my boot.
Mmm. You do so.
And I will keep the green vial on me to just inspect later for what it is, but I'm not being caught. With what happened to Pike last time, I'm not fucking keeping Red Line
on. So you find all this. You crush the Red Line under the vial. You pocket that green vial of venom. You take the premium gate pass and you slide it into your pocket. Ko is coming back around with her bike in tow, just kind of walking it over. As you all meet back up at the truck.
I'll look at Ko.
You okay?
I'll fucking live.
Why don't you spend the night on the ship?
Got nowhere fucking else to go. You only got one gate pass, so I guess I gotta put it back in the van.
That's why I asked.
I guess I have to get a fucking license.
Sure do.
I'm gonna squeeze as hard as I can. I know he's an Ethron, and so I'm like,
fuck!
Oh, and if you wouldn't mind, if you could show her to the brig, if you want to carry him and leave him in there.
Gladly. Hey, this will be your first lockup.
All right.
Come here, you ugly fuck.
And I'm gonna grab Sagio.
You pick up Sagio. And you slump him over your shoulder. And he's noticeably lighter. Not significantly so. Obviously, he's missing an arm. But something a little bit more than that. He's lighter as you have him slumped over your shoulder as you make your way onto the Rhapsody. And this is the first time you've seen this ship. And you're in awe of its kind of... you get the sense of someone who appreciates, loves... your own mechanical bike, you can tell the care that Rhett has kind of put into this ship. It's beautiful in its presentation as you approach. And walking through it is even better as this grand hangar kind of extends out in front of you. You see for the first time presumably,
yeah.
Off to the side, the Sparrow. Docked in the hangar bay, and you might even move your bike up.
Oh yeah,
next to right next to it.
It's like so small in comparison.
Compared to the personal ship. Yeah,
yeah. I am. My eyes are just like, why?
Fuck, Pike, you weren't kidding.
Not bad, right?
God, that thing's beautiful.
It's even better when you're out there.
That is fast as fuck too.
Oh yeah.
Well, maybe one day you could teach me how to fly a starship.
Absolutely. You don't have to ask twice.
Cool.
Come on, let's pick you out a room.
You find one all kind of in that same like dormitory corridor. Yeah. Maybe one or two rooms just down from Pike, not that far away. And you find a room that you feel like kind of begins to resonate with you, not because of anything that it has in it, but almost because it's extremely barren, and it's this empty room of promise that you can really find a space to make your own.
Potential.
That kind of draws you in.
All right, I guess I'm gonna be a bounty hunter.
All right, and if you need anything, my room's just down there on the right. Don't hesitate to knock.
Thanks. Thanks for giving me a place to go. I guess I could have found somebody else from back home to crash with, but I'm done getting people killed for a while. I'm done.
By the time I'm back from the rental car place, my hope is that everyone's long asleep. I'm sure I had to get there and I would just walk back. I take my time. I don't sleep a ton. But I would get in to the ship. I don't know if anyone would be awake, but if everyone's asleep,
I would say.
Hey, Ray.
If everyone's asleep. Everyone's asleep. You're only met by Hank.
I'll sort of walk in and, hey, buddy, I know I missed you too. And I'll just sort of introspectively walk through the halls of the Rhapsody after being away from the ship for a really fucking long time. For probably the longest I've been away from the ship in years. And I will sit down at my desk, and I will start to just look through my records of the guilds and just find out where we're going to drop this guy off, and start to think about where we might want to set a course. And once I have sort of, once I know where we're taking this guy, I would ask Hank to set the nav computers and turn on autopilot, you know, however, if it takes a week or whatever, you know,
get going.
Yeah, so the Rhapsody begins to kind of once more whir to life and shift and shuttle as it raises out of the holding clamps at the starport, and you slowly begin to pull away from Makoro City. And you look, you go to your terminal, you see now with one of these distributors, one of these main planetary distributors of Redline for the Scarlet Eye Gang. What's the payout? Where does it turn in? And you find the closest GBG, or the Bounty Hunting Guild, outpost to you, and you set a quick coordinates. You can also kind of start to do a little bit of the brief research. You might punch in the name that Big Thunder gave you, and you would pull nothing. But the planet, Jerix, that is within your sector. That is relatively easily to travel to. You would go to the GBG first, the GBG outpost. But you think maybe after that, your next step is to head here. And you begin to plot your course as the Rhapsody lifts up into space, enters into this beautiful, almost like sea current, this kind of like neon, magenta, bluish, pink, warbling ether wave as you kind of enter into it. The ship begins to rock and twist as you sail away. With your coordinates set towards the GBG.
Yeah, I would basically stay up all night, right? And like, this would be probably in the morning, you know, by the time, I don't know if you all would be like close to be waking up.
I would probably only try to nap for a couple hours, and yeah. I need
4 hours. You know, yeah. I also don't sleep very much.
Right? Yeah, and so I think
I would join you as if we're like riding the actual ether currents.
Yeah, I would have, since we're not going to use any gates for FTL, yeah. I would make sure that Hank is, you know, navigating to the ether currents and using that to, you know,
and you would know that the relevance of this GBG outpost being in the same sector of space that you're in, as well as this next planet, is you would not need to use any of the FTL gates. You would be able, should you choose, or ones you could maybe use to make this trip shorter, but should you choose, you can fly these ether currents instead to take normal kind of journey times towards these outposts and planets.
I think we're sticking to the currents, and I think anyone who would wake up in the morning would find Rhett on the bridge, just looking out at the beautiful currents,
holding a cup of coffee.
I will like stand in the back as soon as I like get to the huge like viewport of the. Yeah, I've seen like I'm looking at like out the portholes as I'm looking by, but as soon as we get to like the cockpit and the common room and then the whole bridge above that, I'll just kind of stop in the back and be like,
"You've had a lot of new experiences. You've been to prison yourself, but you've never thrown someone into bars. That's very new. You've traveled a bit, but mainly on transports. You've never quite been on kind of like an interplanetary journey quite like this on a ship like this before, seeing the true unfettered grandeur of the Rhapsody of space, the spreading out in front of you. You're stricken in this moment.
Wow, Pike was right.
Beautiful, ain't it?
Yeah.
Hold on one second. I will set my mug of coffee down, and I will hustle down the half flight of stairs down to the lounge, and I'll walk up to where the coffee machine is, and I will grab a mug out of the cabin, pour Ko a cup of coffee, and I'll run upstairs.
Morning.
Morning.
Cheers.
Cheers. You like my boss now or something?
I mean, technically, yes, but I don't like to see it that way. You know, we're all part of the same crew.
Good, because I don't deal well with authority, so.
Good, I didn't expect so.
And I'll sort of turn and sort of face out the viewport.
Yeah.
And just take it all in.
And it's as you're standing there, the two of you together, as you look out the viewport and you see this shimmering waves of the ether current caressing against the ship. You start to see it first one and then two, and then suddenly almost sailing with you, this pod of ether whales
what?
Begins to surround the ship as you all sail together through
That's so fucking cool.
through stardust as you make your way through space. You have never seen anything like this before.
Does this happen all the time?
Not all the time. I mean, ether whales are a relatively rare sight, but God, it fucking never gets old. Let me tell
you. The door behind you opens, and Ziggy steps through. Oh, hey, Co. Oh, cool. Whales. Coffee ready? And I'll reach down and,
Hey, who took my cup? I'm gonna have to make my own pot?
Just brew more, damn it.
I'm having the wonder of the beginning of, or the middle of Jurassic Park, when they first arrive at the island, when they first see the dinosaur. And I am, like, absolutely just awestruck at just at these whales flying through space. And I'll kind of, like, just sit there, and I was like, maybe I was meant to be among the stars.
And for the first time in a long time, for you, Ko, you're filled with hope. You feel this sense, once again, what you thought you had lost, you feel almost this homeliness settling in. With your now latest bounty locked in the brig once more, and your coordinates set to the GBG outpost, as you sail with a pod of ether whales through the Stardust Rhapsody, that's where we're in the session.